When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Gather round, children, and listen to this song. And if you like these kind of things, then you can sing along. Well, go and tell your mama and tell it to your pa and every other mother. 1, 2, 3, 4. Think it's time to start the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Shirtless Plantain Show, the soccer edition. This is your host, Mitch. As always, I'm here with Mateus. Hi, Mateus. How are you?
I'm doing good, Mitch. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. This is a third attempt because my mic was fucking up on the first two attempts. So hopefully we can get through the first minute of this recording. That would be lovely. Also with us is Emily. Hi, Emily. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. I'm thinking we should just talk really, 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 really fast, and then we'll be done with the podcast, and we'll not have any technical issues.
Dean would love that. Of like, if we could knock these out in like 30 minutes, Dean like would probably text me and be like, "Hey, that great job. You guys knocked it out quick this week."
We're 1.5 speed.
Yeah, exactly. Let's get right into it this week. We're not talking about USA Bolivia because we're doing a separate Copa America podcast. So we're going to get into this talking about NWSL and the big NWSL news that happened today, which was Casey Stoney getting sacked by San Diego, which is quite a shock. I don't think any of us saw that coming at all, despite the fact that we've been pretty critical about the San Diego Wave and how they've done to start the season. I'm very surprised that they've decided to set Casey Stoney. Mateus, I'm going to throw to you first because I know Emily's going to have a lot to say. So I'm going to throw to you first. What do you think?
I just want to give a lot of props to our mortal enemies, the Houston Dash, for axing Casey Stoney. Like, you know what? Like, we hate a lot on them. They, you know, we trash talk them. Well, they drew 0-0. Like, that's the last game, right? They took points away from the San Diego Wave.
I was thinking they played Racing, but that was Angel City, another team that's mid. You're right. It was Houston. Wow.
I mean,
Tyne Alonso getting the last laugh.
Yeah, the last laugh. Like a draw against the Houston Dash was enough to. Yeah, exactly. But a draw against the Houston Dash is like enough to embarrass the San Diego Wave forever and kill Casey Stoney's career. So,
kill her career.
I don't think her career is dead.
Hyperbole is fun on this show sometimes. All right, guys.
Well, according to Carla Ward, an English, couch figure, Casey Stoney changed the dynamics of U.S. soccer. So I was like, okay, she did really well coming here and as an expansion side, but she changed the fucking dynamics of U.S. soccer. Anyway, I think this was a big shock to everybody. I don't think I've seen anyone who was like, yep, right move, this was good. I kind of thought no matter how the Wave continued in the season that they would just stick with Stoney. She just re-signed a big contract in January because there were, you know, had been talks. The Chelsea gig was available very recently. It was like questions of whether maybe she would move back to England and take that job. She said, no, I'm staying in San Diego, signed a contract till 2027 with an option for another year. Obviously they won the Shield last year. They made the playoffs in their first season as a club. So it's honestly, it's so hard to wrap your head around the fact that they would fire her now, like 1 point off of the playoff line, we still have half of season to go. They kind of had a slump similar last season where they weren't playing that well, turned it around, managed to win the Shield. It only takes, you know, stringing a few games together, a few wins together to move up the table in the NWSL. They definitely certainly are not out of playoff contention at all. So it's so curious until you remember that they just signed or they just hired Camille Ashton, who was formerly the GM at Kansas City and very infamously was known for, trading players without, talking to them or maybe even telling them one thing and then doing the other. So she seems very cutthroat. And that's just like, is she the X factor that's come in here and was like, nope, it's not good enough for this team that we have?
Yeah, it's like everyone's surprised by this, and I think it's just because it is a weird decision. She's a high profile coach on a team that has a lot of high profile players. And yeah, it's been a little bit of a tough start for them this season, but they are currently in ninth place, which is one place out of playoffs, and they're only 1 point behind Louisville to be in the playoffs, which is a very weird spot to be firing your coach. Like, if they were like Seattle doesn't even have 10 points right now, and the Seattle head coach job doesn't seem that hot as the San Diego one, obviously, just like became all of a sudden. So I think it's very just a strange choice to do this for someone you just gave a new contract to. And I feel like there's a lot of circumstances for their start to the season as well. Like, they had a good 4 or 5 game run where they didn't have Naomi Girma. They didn't have Alex Morgan. It strikes me as very strange. And, I think that's the overarching opinion I've seen about it.
I just to play devil's advocate for a second here, they're 1 point above the aforementioned Houston Dash, who we all know suck. They're 1 point above them. They've scored a total of 12 goals this season. That's good for third bottom of the league for goals scored. I think ambitious clubs want to go out and be attacking and play attacking quality soccer and not be reliant on having a stalwart defense. They do have a great defense. They've only given up 13 goals this season. But I think when you have Jaden Shaw and Alex Morgan and other pieces, you want to be more aggressive on the front foot, and they haven't been able to get it done on that front this season. Now, do they have the quality to do that? They probably do. Would they get out of this slump? I think they would. But I guess if you're looking at just the raw numbers that they've put up this season, they're you see a world where this makes sense. I'm not saying I agree with it, but
I think
that's fair.
Even if they missed the playoffs, it's just there's not who else are you bringing in? Lyon just hired Joe Montemurro as their coach. It's there's not it's not a buyer's market. I guess maybe they're gonna go after a Spanish coach. It's very trendy right now. I was thinking maybe Jill Ellis is pulling a coup to appoint herself, but I don't think that's actually happening.
What would you think about Jonas Eidevall going to San Diego and then Arsenal gets Casey Stoney?
I mean, see, I've never been a fan myself of her style of play, but
okay.
I don't like either of those. I wouldn't care if Jonas went to San Diego, but I do see a lot of Arsenal women's fans saying come to me, come here.
Well, I think also just a lot of Arsenal women's fans just want to get rid of Jonas Eidevall. Yeah. So I think that's probably why.
That's true.
But
one other point, which my mm-hmm. I think a lot of people's immediate first thought was Angel City has the opportunity to do the funniest thing ever. And that would be to be Casey, would you like to come? Because obviously they're not having the season that they wanted to have. I do think Casey would be a good coach just to bring structure, very simple structure and kind of figure things out. So we'll see. I don't know. I kind of always got the impression that she didn't really like the NWSL, I have to say. So I'm not sure, but I don't think she's going to think very well of the fact that she moved her family over to California and she's been, you know, sacked mid-season.
Well, like that's you guys fair. Said, like, she just signed a new contract. I wonder what the buyout is. Not to be thinking like college football terms, like how many millions is she going to get out of this and still get paid, but, you know, a little prize money for signing a new contract.
You went a little robot mode for a second, so I didn't hear your point there, Mateus.
Yeah.
No, my bad. I'm just saying that she just signed a new contract, so like that means she's going to get a buyout, so she can, you know, getting paid, a little double paid. It makes up for the pain.
I don't know how that shit works.
That's totally fair.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I don't either. Emily, I want to ask you about, before we move on, about the Angel City thing that you just talked about. Mm-hmm. I know they haven't been doing great, but Becky Tweed looked really good, like after coming on as an intern last year and then got hired full time. Do you think that Angel City moves on from her, like less than a year after bringing her on as an interim manager and then hiring her full time?
It's tough because, I mean, you've kind of seen them replicate what they went through last year, you know. Just getting a spare win here and there, getting a draw, but they haven't really been able to like string a bunch of those together. It's definitely not what they want to be achieving. I do think it would be harsh maybe to give up on Becky now, but I think if they don't make the playoffs, I think this summer they will part ways with her for sure.
Cool. Well, it's interesting, and it'll be something to keep our eyes on. Let's get into the games this weekend, starting with Gotham FC losing 2-0 against Washington. Trinity Rodman scored a sick goal. Washington are flying. Emily, what happened to your Bats?
Are you sure you don't want to talk about the midweek game where we beat San Diego?
We don't cover midweek games on here. It's going to be really funny when I bring up the midweek game that the Rapids played in during the Rapids segment. But, yeah, we don't talk about those games. You guys lost this weekend. What happened?
I'll tell you what happened. God. This was – I went in a bit uneasy anyway because, like, we did not have Lynn available. No Aster available. L. Stevens is not fit to start. So already, like, our attacking options were pretty limited coming against, you know, Washington Spirit team who have kind of stacked attacking options. And obviously, yeah, we played that midweek game. Spirit did not. So another factor coming into this. However, for the first 30 minutes, we were really in control playing our game. There was this moment that I keep like playing over. I think it's the sliding doors moment of the game where if that one thing happened, it would have obviously changed things, and it did not. Stengel found herself like in on goal, and for whatever reason, she like did not shoot. She looked to pass somewhere. And I'm just like, if she would have gone for goal, if she had the confidence. She hasn't really been getting a lot of minutes. So I do understand her being low on confidence, maybe not to take the shot. But you gotta shoot the goddamn ball. Because immediately, the Spirit are going the other way. Corey Bethune's in transition. She pulls all the defenders with her, lays it off to Courtney Brown, another rookie who shoots, and she scores. And like just like that, against the run of play, the Spirit are ahead. And after that, things get really chippy, a lot of fouls going in, a lot of yellow cards coming out. That does not suit the way that Gotham like to play. And I was just thinking, please let us get to halftime and we can sort this out. But of course, Yasmin Ryan goes down with a head injury. So she has to go off the field after she gets treatment. And then there seems to be some kind of miscommunication with the fourth official about if she can go on or not. She goes on, and she gets a second yellow card for going on too early. And I do believe in my heart that this was a miscommunication, because the way she was pleading for her life out there, she is normally very calm and like doesn't show a lot of emotion. There was like very please, but red card, and that just sent me pretty much over the edge. Like, you know, these officials, they're not throwing yellow cards out there when players are getting absolutely brutally tackled, but we'll give this second yellow for some bullshit. Like, she went on the field maybe 5-10 seconds too early, you know. I know it's the rules, but it's a sick joke.
No, that's like a really fresh one of those, like, red cards like that are always like really frustrating, where it's like, this could have been avoided and was clearly like a miscommunication or just like a weird ref decision. Like, I'll always think about like the Martinelli two yellows on one play for, against Wolves a couple years ago, where he like fouled someone and then in the same run of the play fouled someone and he got two yellows for one passage of play, which is fucking crazy. And it's always frustrating when that happens to your team. Let's move on now to current 4 Portland 1. Absolute demolition by Kansas City against Portland.
Yeah, I was really hoping this would be a competitive match, especially after, you know, opening day game. That was the chaotic 5-4, very dramatic game. We were like, what the fuck is up at Portland? And of course, it was not that. Sam Coffey, we have to say, was not fit to play for most of this game. So that forced Rob Gill to kind of tinker with his midfield. Megan Klingenberg was inserted into that holding position, which I thought was kind of a weird choice, not only because she's like predominantly a left back, but also because she really hasn't played that much this season. And it kind of showed in the build out. A lot of, you know, stray passes getting knocked off the ball by Kansas City in their press. The first two goals were initiated in, you know, those mistakes in the midfield and turned into like very chaotic moments in the box where Portland, as it turns out, are really bad at defending in their own 18. First two goals happened there, and then of course the Lola Bonta like absolute banger from the top of the box kind of seals it in that first half late on 3-0, which later turns into 4-0. Sophia Smith does get something. She's leaving here with something, so that, you know, she can keep her place on top of the Golden Boot race. But this performance kind of just said to me, like, I don't think Rob Gale is the guy for the job. Like, I think, you know, he's had a good showing since, but should the measuring, like, stick for him to be like, okay, what was your, like, terrible performance at the beginning of the season? Like, can you do better against Kansas City with one of the best teams, top two teams? I think the number one table. And if it's not a win, it's to put in a much better performance. And they didn't do that at all.
I know this Portland squad has a lot of top-end talent, but do you really think they have the depth? I mean, when they get injured, like, Sam Coffey's out, Olivia Moultrie's out. Who else do they really have in midfield? Like, I don't want to just go, like, start assigning blame to Rob Gale when, like, the squad is built a certain way. You know? Not Rob, no.
I also think, like, I know he doesn't want to play, like compact defensive at home and then play on the counter, but you probably would have been way better suited for that in this situation than trying to build through the midfield when it clearly wasn't working. And obviously you have Sophia Smith, who can, when you get her the ball isolated, like, can make anything happen, as she showed in her goal. So I just think he went about it the wrong way as well. It's tough, but I just don't know if he's the man for the job.
Yeah, I mean, clearly though, Kansas City is a very, very good team, and anything, the league has shown us in the first few for the first half of the season is that Kansas City and Orlando are probably just a cut above the rest of the league, which is a good segue into Orlando beating Utah 6-0, because they beat Utah 6-0.
This is just brutal. And Utah tried to kind of replicate their game against Kansas City, where they did hold them to one goal. They lost, but, you know, that can be kind of a moral victory. We held this, like, juggernaut to just a goal. Could not do that here. Continuously giving the ball away in the midfield. basically played into, you know, the Pride's press where they want to be picking up the ball. You know, they kept it to a respectable 3-0 until the 86th minute where just the wheels fell off the wagon and the Pride like doubled the score in 9 minutes. Banda and Marta both had a brace. And one thing I'll say about Marta this season is I just feel like she is so rejuvenated by, you know, Banda being there and then being able to play this more like fluid attacking style. Like the entire time that she's been with the Pride in the league, they've like really been struggling at the bottom of the table. Like doesn't really suit the way Marta wants to play. So I just love to see her having fun out there and be able to do the things that make her, you know, one of the best players that we've seen in the women's game. And yeah,
yeah.
Utah awful. Passing that yeah. one, not a triangle to insight.
Well, I mean, we know that Utah's not good. I don't think we can say much that we learned anything from this match. We know Orlando's really good. We know Utah's pretty bad. And Orlando and Kansas City still have not lost this season. And I hope that both of those streaks just go as long as possible. It'd be pretty sick if, like, it just keeps going.
My sicko brain is like, we can beat them, Gotham.
coming off a loss, too.
Well, yeah, I just think we play a very controlled style, so I see it, but...
Well, we'll have to see when you guys do play. Yeah. Now moving on to Courage 3, Chicago 1. The Courage figured out how to score goals. That's good for them.
Yeah, they did. After they hadn't scored a single goal since mid-May. So it was nice to see them put 3 past Chicago. They actually went down early in this. And this match off of, like, super sick goal from Mal Swanson, actually. It was, like, a ridiculous, like, flick where she, like, kind of kicked both feet up from behind her. You guys will have to watch because my description can only go so far. But she basically carries the ball, like, across the field, drags the entire defense and the keeper with her, and then just goes back across that side of the goal. Very brilliant move, but... You know, it's not enough. Mal is not enough to beat the Courage by herself, I guess. They played really well. Brianna Pinto, they slid back into the attacking midfield role. Well, I do think she's been pretty good there this season. She got the assist on that equalizer goal from Tyler Lucy. Riley Jackson, the teenager, got her first start. She looked really good, involved in a lot of the dangerous attacks for the Courage, so hopefully Sean Nahas feels comfortable giving her more minutes because she's a fun one to watch. Ashley Sanchez also played really well. She had a banger herself, kind of a weird looking goal, but really fun. I do think this can be a turning point for the Courage. Caroline was recently spotted back in team training. They also signed an Australian striker, Courtney Vines, who I think had scored a lot of goals in the A-League this season. So some attacking reinforcements at a crucial time.
Yeah, that's really big for them, and hopefully it's a sign of things to come for the Courage. Let's move on to MLS now, and we'll start with a matchup of two top teams in the Western Conference. And Fake Salt Lake lost to LA Galaxy. What happened in this one, Mateus?
Fake Salt Lake lost, baby. I mean, I had this game circled on the calendar for quite a while. Looking forward to watching. No, I did. Like, sorry. Two really attacking teams.
That's just a very funny image to me.
I know it's Utah. Like, we make fun of them. But, like, they are good this season. They do have the MVP frontrunner, Chicho Arango, who... was disappointingly subbed off in the 20th minute with a gash along the entire side of his face. You know, like 20 stitches. I think
if you're
he
not bleeding,
stayed in.
What's then you're not trying.
You're not trying. No, real shit. That was a really ugly collision between him and Martin Casades. I'm glad both of them got subbed off because for a second they were like, "Can Casades stay in?" And I'm like, "No, that man is concussed. Like, get him off the fucking field." But without Chicho Arango, without Ricky Puig, who didn't start the game, he's been injured, I believe. This kind of turned into a bit of a slogfest. To the Galaxy's credit, they defended, right? They're in the past, Galaxy teams of the past, especially last year, were known for being kind of leaky in the back. And this year, Greg Vanney has kind of figured it out. Like, they can, when they don't have Ricky Pooch on the ball, when they have to, like, defend and just counter through Pantelin, Gabriel Pech, they're able to do that, right? So they just kind of held back, countered most of the second half. And without Chicho Arango for RSL, it was kind of all on Diego Luna's shoulders, because Andres Gomez is a really nice player, but he's most effective, like, dribbling at speed, cutting in behind. And when the Galaxy were compact, he wasn't just able to do that. He had a really nice chance really early in the game in the 12th minute where he kind of caught the ball on the fly and kind of dribbled around some people, made something happen. It was really nice. But after the first half, after the first 20 minutes, Andres Gomez was pretty invisible, and it was all on Diego Luna's shoulders. And he just didn't have it. He wasn't creative enough in the final third in the compact setting. And then on the counter, Gabriel Pech takes a long ball in the 75th minute, slots it behind Zach McMath, who's been pretty weak recently. Gavin Beavers should probably take over that starting spot for good now for RSL. But and that was that. Like, RSL never really put up a really definitive goal opportunity. And LA Galaxy saw the win out away from home. In Utah, I believe, if I'm not crazy. And they take the 3 points. And RSL was looking pretty bummed out at the end of this game. But I think it was a fair assessment of the game. Like, they really just didn't have any juice in the final third whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, now we're at a point in the season where I think the top three teams in the West are starting to, like, pull away a little bit. Like, it's pretty clear. All three of them are all on 37 points, LAFC, RSL, and LA Galaxy. LAFC has a game in hand, but it's going to be kind of a dogfight in the West. See who gets that top spot, which is very fun. What, Emily? Are you muted? Because you're saying things, but I can't hear you.
Oh, shit, I wasn't muted. There's a dog barking. I was quoting the mighty Matt Turner. Dog is...
Yeah, that's... I love that quote so much. It's my Instagram bio. It's the best. we're going to move on now to another Western Conference win, and that is the Rapids, who are now fourth in the Western Conference.
Say it loud, say it proud, Mitch.
I am saying it loud. I'm saying it proud. Fourth in the Western Conference after a 9-point week, the Rapids. We beat Montreal 4-1 this weekend. Absolute demolition. We played fucking great. Calvin Harris had a brace. We love a Calvin Harris brace. It was very fun. Jordy Mihaljevic scored again, an assist. That brings his goals and assist total up to 14 for the season, which is that's designated player numbers. And I will say that this week inflated his numbers a lot because he got a hat trick in midweek. A very scrappy perfect hat trick against St. Louis. He scored on a header from like a long throw in. He like Berkey gave him the ball that he finished with his left foot, and then we won a penalty and he finished that with his right foot. So it's like perfect hat trick, and it was very scrappy. But we take it. We can't discount a hat trick. You can't discount a hat trick. I don't care what it is.
Move it along. This is a midweek match. Move it along.
Yeah, fair enough. In this one, we looked great. Great 4-1 win. This is a serious, serious team. As long as we can, for the most part, we've been pretty good at stifling like really good chances, which is one of the reasons why we've been a good team, even if our defensive numbers are a little bit leaky. Most of that can be attributed to Zach Steffen being like underperforming so much. I think this week was really, really good for his confidence. He had 2 clean sheets in these 3 games. And only conceded 1 in the game this weekend against Montreal. But it was like an immediate, like we were up 2-0 from the first half brace from Calvin Harris. We conceded 1, and then we won a penalty to go up 3-1, and then immediately scored a 4th. Like, we were just piling it on, which is something I have not seen the Rapids do. And the vibes are fucking off the charts right now. Like, I think Chris Armas has fully like brought the fan base in, brought the players in. It's a great time to be a Rapids fan. And at this current moment, the season ends, we got home field advantage for the first round of playoffs to where, like, hopefully we wouldn't be playing 2 games, but like we would be hosting the first playoff game, which is very, very cool. And I will be there 100% to go watch a Rapids playoff game without a doubt. And then in other Rapids news, Moise Mabido played really well for Canada, and I tweeted that he might not be a Rapids player for much longer because of how well he was playing against Argentina. And within like less than a week, Leon's trying to buy him. And rightfully so. He's a fucking great player. Hopefully we replace him well in the offseason. I will say that Abubakar, or not in the offseason, in the summer, Abubakar has played pretty well in coming in for him. Obviously, doesn't have like the recovery pace, but I think that there's been a really good amount of stability. So that's been very nice. It's a great time to be a Rapids fan. We're going to move on to Emily's team winning 3-0 against Toronto.
You know, Red Bulls, they had a little stumble 3-game. Didn't get a win, but they're back. Did it without Lewis Morgan, did it without Emil Forsberg, and soon they're going to be doing it without Frankie Amaya, because he is going to Mexico, which is not good for me. I guess it's good for him. For you, but I don't know what that midfield is going to look like, because he basically does it all for them in there.
Yep, short guys stay winning.
His girlfriend does play for Tigray, so they'll be close together, I guess. I don't know where Toluca is, actually, but it's all down there.
It's all down there. It's all down there. He'll figure it out. He'll take a flight.
Famously small country, Mexico.
Yeah. Anyway, this one got disrupted by a weather delay for like, they played 10 minutes and then they stopped for like an hour and 40 minutes. So obviously the first 20 minutes after that were not that great. But then Manuel ripped a shot out of nowhere, top of the box. They're really able to, you know, put their foot on the ball after that and start to control things until halftime. Second half, basically all Red Bulls, pretty happy to play on the counter, you know, especially without Forsberg there to, you know, provide the build-up play for them. That's where the two goals came from in transition moments. You had Yengar, who got his first start. He's, I think, Norwegian, perhaps? Denmark?
I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
Stats say Norway. Norway.
There we go. Obviously, kinsman of Martin Odegaard. That came from a really nice cross from Carmona. And Toronto had nothing for us. They couldn't really build up. All their passes were getting snatched up when they were trying to, you know, pass that first line of pressure, basically. Not a good performance from them at all.
Yeah, a tough loss from Toronto, but nice win for the Red Bulls. Let's move on to two teams that have been underperforming this year, to say the least. Dallas lost to Seattle this week. What'd you think, Mateus?
Yeah, this was a fun game in the end, right? I didn't really expect it to be that interesting, but Seattle at home playing against FC Dallas. They dominated the first half, I would say. Dominated is a strong word. FC Dallas had nothing. Sounders had something, except all of their shots that were in the box were off target. So not a super great first half performance, kind of a dud. Second half, FC Dallas gets two pretty lazy goals, one out of a kind of a fucked up moment in build up out of the back, and shortly thereafter, Marky Delgado scores from across. Then Peter Musa scores off some pretty lazy defending, a little passing move in the box. Nothing too crazy. Finishes at far post. Peter Musa has been on the heater recently. I think he has 4 or 5 goals in the past 4 or 5 games, I think, something like that. But a nice finish from him in the end. And you're thinking 2-0 away from home. Seattle hasn't been a great, you know, offensive firepower in the past season, really. But they're at home. They got the old guys in there. They got Rui Diaz got subbed in, Jordan Morris. And they just hoof the ball. They're just hitting the ball. They're crossing it all the goddamn time. And they get Rui Diaz, of all people, not the tallest guy in the pitch, scores a bullet header from across from deep. I think Obed Vargas served it in. He had some hops on that. I think they thought it was Jordan Morris, and it was like, no, wait, it was a short guy. Bullet header, waving the crowd on. Famously taller than the Peruvian guy. But anyway. just waving the crowd, getting the ball back. They sub in Reed Baker Whiting. They put in more offensive firepower. And they just go after, just keep doing the same thing, serving the ball in. Jordan Morse gets one off a corner, make it 2-2. Pretty sick header again. And then 94th minute, a moment in transition where FC Dallas is a bit disorganized. They lose the ball, and I believe Ovid Vargas has a wonderful pass up the channel. A really nice run by Jordan Morris. I don't even think it was that bad defending by FC Dallas. They left a pretty wide lane, but it was just one of those where like it just opened up for Obed. A really nice through ball in. Jordan Morris angles his run correctly, finishes it far post. 3-2. A crazy comeback, honestly. 10-15 minutes, get the three goals to turn the game on its head. Lou Winfield goes crazy. And Seattle Sounders has one feel-good moment this season with the old crowd, with Rusnak, with Jean-Paulo, with Morris, with Rui Diaz. And they celebrate. Something to be smile about. FC Dallas probably pretty pissed. More points dropped from winning positions for them. I don't know how many they have. I don't think it's as bad as KC, but I know they've dropped a few points from winning positions. So a tough loss for them. At least it was away from home. You don't want to be embarrassed like that at home. But yeah, a great win for the Sounders. A really great comeback win. Showed a lot of resolve. Brian Schmetzer's teams are always coached up. So credit to them.
You just mentioned KC dropping points from winning positions. And good news for SKC fans. They didn't do that this weekend. They only got crushed. They lost 4-0. To the Columbus Crew.
There was no hope for you.
Yeah. Like, this is good. This is growth. You know, you're not dropping points from a winning position. You're just rolling over against a team that's better than you and firing the guy totally responsible, which is not Peter Vermees for some reason. And I guess their technical director. I truly do not understand how that club is run. They are a laughingstock, and I feel bad for their fans because they deserve better. Anyway, on Columbus's side, Kucha scored a hat trick. That was rad. Kucha scored a hat trick. That was really, really nice. Three nice goals. But what I really want to talk about this game is Aiden Morris. I feel like you don't get to see farewell games very often. I feel like just the nature of the sport, of like typically transfers happen during the off season, and this is a rare moment where like. This is a beloved player with this club. The city fucking loves him. And he's leaving to go to Europe and, like, pursue a career playing in Europe. And, like, he is able to have one last game with the Crew before going to Middlesbrough. And they gave him, like, a great little ceremony at the beginning of the game. And, like, when he gets subbed out, he's, like, hugged by all of his teammates. The stadium's clapping for him. He's crying. It's very, very cool. I'm very happy for Aiden Morris. He's a wonderful, wonderful player. I hope he crushes it with Michael Carrick's team in England. It's just really cool to see these kinds of moments. Like, he's a player that, like, there's a picture of him and a bunch of other, like, Crew Academy kids during the Save the Crew campaign. And, like, he's a kid from Columbus that tried to save his team, and he ended up winning two MLS Cups with them. So it's really cool to see this kind of ovation and this kind of love. Like, he's going to – like, I bet you're going to be walking around Columbus in the near future and you can see, like, Middlesbrough Morris kits. I guarantee you that people will be, like, wearing those to Crew games and stuff, which, like, it's just very cool to see a team, like, love an academy player like this and stuff like that. And it's cool when stories happen like this in MLS. So really happy for Aiden. And that's more what I want to talk about, and not SKC getting fucking smashed. let's move on to last game we're covering this weekend, which is Cincy 1, New England 2.
Yeah, just to give some backstory to this game for Cincinnati, they are down bad with injuries. They have lost Miles Robinson to the Copa America roster for the U.S. men's. They also lost Matt Miazga to a knee injury. And then in this game, Nick Haglund came off the bench and broke his leg. They found out after the game. So just a little sidebar there. But they started with one real center back in their three-man back line, Ian Murphy in the middle. And they started Alvis Powell right back and DeAndre Yedlin at left center back. So you know things are going to go well this game. So they go down 2-0 before halftime. Giacomo Rioni left off the Albania squad because he's been sucking so much ass for the Revolution recently, with 2 goals. They both came kind of similar ways where he dekes out Obina Nwobodo, kind of just outside the 18 and finishes with power with his left foot. Both in the 21st minute and 41st minute, they both kind of came the same way. Since he's down 2-0 at halftime at home, got to give the pep up speech. You got to come out hard. Not a ton going for them going to the second half. They put some pressure on, but a lot of shots from outside the 18, a lot of shots from the edge of the box, particularly in the second half. They get one back from a corner on Assad, the left back who's starting this game. A nice little header finishes against the grain of the goal. But shortly thereafter, Obina Nwobodo gets himself sent off. Not only did he let the two fail to block the two shots from Vrioni, he also fouled Vrioni, chasing down a counter to get sent off with the second yellow. And then that was just kind of the game, kind of a dull game after that. Lucho Acosta didn't have the juice to pull this one off. I think Cincinnati deserved a little bit better for this game. They did have the majority of the possession and a lot of shots, right? Maybe not a lot of high quality shots, but a lot of shots. But never really troubled Ivicic that much. And Revolution with a crazy win away from home, to be honest. So shout out to them.
The Revs had a really rough start to the season, and they have now won 4 straight games in the month of June, which they're like crawling their way back into a potential playoff spot, and I think it's something to keep our eyes on.
Yeah. That's the power of Pride Month.
Yeah, exactly. The Revs are the gayest team in MLS. That's what we're going to go with.
I mean, if anyone... I'm not going to say it. All right, Caleb Porter. Wow. Caleb Porter was being, you know, Caleb, a meat old grump Caleb Porter. A sassy little boy. We're at the end of the show. We're ending the show.
Were you going to talk about, say something about Caleb Porter, like in regard to Emily's Pride Month comment, or were you going to say something prior to me saying they won 4 straight?
I was going to talk about Esmir Bakhtarovic committing to Bosnia, sort of, maybe.
But oh, what's also going on with that?
Well, he deleted the USMNT flag from his bio on Instagram. He's going to play for Bosnia.
Oh no! What a loss.
He's good. Oh, thanks, shucks. Mitch. Oh, man,
okay.
A good story.
Well, I mean, it's a good spot for the U.S. to be in, where we're like losing some dual nats, and it's like, yeah, I mean, we're pretty deep in a lot of positions, and it's good for him if he wants to go play for Bosnia. Like, it's a win all around. One last thing before we get out of here, we're not talking about the St. Louis City game, but I want to talk about the ref real quick. Because I'm sure everyone has seen the video of him. I've been very tepid about the in-stadium announcements. I feel like they've been like okay. Like sometimes they've added some extra context. Sometimes they've just made things more confusing. But the St. Louis ref announcing something, hearing the crowd noise, like celebrate, and then being hold the fuck on. However, is great, and I now think that. Refs need to be that dramatic with their in-stadium announcements as a bare minimum. Like, what's the point if we're not being dramatic? And if you're going to be dramatic, we should roll this out everywhere. It's a winning concoction. This is super fun, and we need to keep doing it. But that is all for us this week. You guys know what to say.
Happy Pride to that ref. Peace.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.